God bless you. You may be seated. It's a great honor to be here this afternoon to share with us the word of the Lord. You expect that? Lift your hands toward heaven and appreciate the Lord one more time. Just whisper something to the God of Zion. It is an established fact that humanity is laden with infirmities. An accurate understanding of what humankind represents will first of all bring you into an understanding of the fact that you are burdened with a lot of limitations. Therefore, in order for your life to strike a chord in the realm where it matters, you need to be helped by a spirit. It is our ability to participate with spirit entities that gives us an advantage in time. Nobody rules among mankind or humankind unless he is helped of a spirit. One of the plagues of the ignorant man is his self-deception, thinking that there is so much in himself, not realizing that his advantage is not in time. When men begin to grow in wisdom, what they do is that they flock to Zion so that they can draw help and strength. Can you ask the Lord one more time? I know there are lots of things you believe in. There are lots of potentials you have. If you live long enough, you realize that your potentials alone is not enough. You will need the help of a spirit. So every time we congregate like this, it is first of all a testament of the fact that we have weighed ourselves and we have realized that we have no advantage in ourselves. This is why Paul said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. First, he said we are the circumcision. What it means is that we have been separated from the systems of the world. Some of us may be scholars in our respective rights. Some of us may be orators. Some of us may be gifted. But after we x-rayed ourselves, we came to a point where we decided to disconnect from everything that constitutes an advantage in time. So we come before the great God, the supreme being that dwells in the realm of the spirit, and we draw strength from him. He said, we worship God in the spirit. We rejoice only but in Christ Jesus, not in our achievements, not in our abilities, not in the things that we know. Our rejoicing is in Christ Jesus. And the reason is because we have no confidence in the flesh. The man who is talking is an orator. The man who is talking is a lawyer. By reason of his abilities, he excelled in the Jewish learning more than everybody in his class. He is what you will call a first class student in everything he did, not just in his studies. But he came to a point, he said, we have no confidence in the flesh. You may still be coming to the presence of God and you trust so much in your beauty. You trust in your family name, your bloodline, where you came from. You have not judged the earth well. There are forces, there are powers that manipulate humankind. The only way we succeed in time is in our fraternity with the Holy Ghost. Can you ask the Lord this afternoon that by all means there will be a paradigm shift? You see, you can be with the Lord for many years, you will not realize these things. And you will be living based on the abilities you have in the natural. Ask the Lord to talk to you this afternoon. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him. This is one practice that many believers have lost. They don't know how to talk to spirits. We can gather together and gist for 10 hours. But when we are about to talk to spirits, then our energy diffuses out of us. This is why we are where we are. And we've been on that mountain for too long. Lord, even as we look upon your word, we ask that you grant us insight. Grant us strength. Grant us penetrating power. So that we will come to the very hall where you dwell. Where we would repent. Times of oppression will come. Because we've come to your presence. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Engaging the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Where we are currently in the calendar of heaven, understanding the anointing and how to engage it is so important. The church have come to a point where we are masters in the operation of psychological tools. We have become emotional beings and psychological beings. And the reason is because we are under pressure most times to deliver. We are under pressure most times to make a show. Because church and ministry have become a showbiz. And if we cannot see manifestly what we want, it becomes natural for us to pull different stones in order to create impression. But what we don't know is that the reason God brings about a congregation of people is beyond that environment. Everything God does, the Bible said, shall endure forever. The unfortunate thing is that we are in a realm where there is a competition between different spirits and different entities. So the only way that the operation of God's spirit can endure forever is, first of all, if that operation is born from the womb of the spirit. And if that operation has the backing of the spirit of God. And for such to happen, the vessels through which God manifests himself must learn the technology of drawing from his realm. We have to travel beyond the realm of emotion. We have to travel beyond the realm of psychology to touch the heartbeat of the Father. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, bring to bear what God is doing. It is very easy to hear things, stories that stimulate you. And you find yourself crying and running. But what you will realize is that after you've run in the church, that euphoria lasts 30 minutes after the service. You will go back home and you will return to your addictions and your weaknesses. The reason is because you've not touched the realm of life. Your emotions, the balance of your emotion were altered. You cried, you ran around in the service. But when you left the service, you will discover you've not touched it. Meanwhile, Samuel came to Saul. Saul came to Samuel, and it was not a service. Samuel met him by the roadside because he was going to the mountain of the Lord. And when he looked at him, they came and told him how they were going to look for their father's missing asses. And he looked at him and laughed. He said, "Is it not because the Lord have anointed you captain over his house?" They were not in the service. Nobody fell under the power. Nobody was excited. Nobody cried. Is it not because the Lord has anointed you captain over his house? As you depart from me, he began to tell the guy the new direction of his life. He did not consult with him. He was speaking, and there was a power that was backing the utterance coming from him to make happen everything he declared. Imagine you met a man casually, and the man begins to tell you next phase of your life, and you can't escape from it. He said, as you depart from me, you are going to see two men coming, bearing three loaves of bread. He was describing graphically the things that will happen. They will salute you and they will keep us up. You receive it. How do you mean? Who told you that we want to receive it? The guy had no choice. The man who was speaking from the womb of the spirit. Because he said, God told him that by this time tomorrow, the man that comes to you, anoint him as king over the people of Israel. He said, you will receive it. And true to his word, when Saul was going, he saw the men and he received it. He said, as you go beyond the sepulchre of Rachel, you will see a band of prophets. He said, there, the spirit of God will come upon you and your heart will be changed and you will prophesy. This guy had no training in the school of prophets. He was not from the tribe of prophets. But true to the word of the prophet, he met a band of prophets. And the Spirit of God came upon him and he began to prophesy. So much so that people looked upon him and said, he saw one among the prophets. The men that subdued kingdom were men of power. Our church today is reduced to emotion, cliche, psychology. So we come to church, the crescendo of the service is that point where people are running around, shouting and doing all kinds of things. If you even see the things we do, first of all, it does not mirror the spirit of righteousness. Secondly, there's no fear of God. There's no reverence. There's no decorum for God. People running around doing all kinds of things because they want pictures to appear on Facebook. It's a pathetic thing. The princes in darkness, they look at us and they laugh. We are not ready because we don't even know what we've been called into. This is why the subject of the anointing becomes very important. Because without
tangible expression of the anointing in your life, you don't have a use for God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. In John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He said, the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus did not come into this world to become. He came with the full credentials of a God man. Before He ever started anything, He was called the Word. He was called the Creator. He was called the life of man. He was called the light of the world. But He was there for 30 years. He was only popular as a carpenter. Until He made contact with the anointing. What Jesus achieved in 3.5 years, He could not achieve it in 30 years. There's no gimmick about it. If you are not anointed, you are not anointed. If you are anointed, you are anointed. Because it's a business of spirits. Most of us, we don't even believe in the things of God anymore. Somebody is sick. You come to him and you do all your charade. You lay hands on him, you speak capital letter tongues. Even while you are praying, the person is waiting to go and take his paracetamol. Both of you are deceiving yourselves. Because even you who is praying, you will finish and ask him, have you taken your medication? We think it's a show. A show beef. Why have we been reduced to what we are today? Because we want to hear things that are appealing to us. Because we want to make a show, not to represent God. But what we don't know is that the tides ahead of us are dangerous tides. I'm just coming from a retreat. I've become more humble because of the things I saw. Naturally, I will come and in the first 15 minutes, everywhere will be boiling. Then I will look and say, yeah, I'm doing something. From what I saw, now I'm humble. The first thing the Holy Ghost gave me was a rebuke. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? He said, don't become popular by the wave of revival and not create revival in the heart of men. You will be judged. You know what it means? When you know the popular message going around, you can listen to the messages, study it, and become, since you are an orator, you can preach it very well. And everybody will know you as a revivalist. But you don't give to the demands of stirring the heart of men genuinely and releasing the power of God. So people will hear you for 10 years, they will not be revived. But you become popular. You become influential. And seeds will come to you, you will collect them. You have judged yourself. Everybody knows now that here in Nigeria, we advocate for morality. We advocate for holy living. You can become a holiness preacher. And your message spread like white fire. But yourself, you are not committed to holiness. So people will hear you, they will not be able to live a holy life. Because you are not emitting the energy that should create holiness. Reason is because you've not given yourself first to the laws of holiness. But you become popular as a holiness preacher. You will receive the name, the accolades. Because the time they would have used to seek God genuinely, instead of listening to you. Listen. People are not changed because you preach a reality. People are changed because you communicate it. Jesus said, for their sake, I sanctify myself so that they too might be sanctified. So he was not preaching the message of sanctification first. He was living it. That's what gave him the right to preach it. We have a generation where people who are not on fire are preaching fire. People who are not men of prayer are preaching prayer. People who are not students of the word are preaching the word. People who are not living a holy life are preaching holiness. So we are all full of church language, but there's no reality on ground. I left my retreat with a heavy heart. I am afraid. I went for retreat and the Holy Ghost said, what? Don't become popular by a revival message when you can't create it in the heart of man. Does that not suggest that we should shut down and pray for some time? The Holy Ghost showed me the persecution that is coming next year. The people God wants to produce now are people that can withstand pressure. People that can withstand persecution. But we ourselves, are we toughened enough? Can we even withstand the persecution? We? Or we'll just go around and tell people, you can die for Jesus. If you see a cutlass, can you stand? You don't have the right to preach the message. Most of us are already tired. We want this service to end so that we'll go and rest. We are not part of the army. Do you know how Paul raised people? He talked them into the middle of the night. Somebody fell down, died. Eutychus. He went and carried him up. The service didn't end. They continued praying and preaching into the night. Came here by 9. It's past 12. Most of you are tired. That means God is looking for another people, not us. You carry the Bible. You want to read one book. You read 2 chapters. You slept off. You woke up after 3 hours. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But another 10 verses, you slept off again. And then you came out to say, I've been in God's presence for 5 hours. No, you were there for 15 minutes. We are deceived. Play a message, you went and laid down with pillow. And then all you heard was when the man was introducing the message. The next time you woke up, they were praying. And you joined them. You say, oh boy, I received impartation. You are a joker. You've learned how to stir your emotions. Did you not notice that the devil is not moved about what you know or what you say? When the devil wants to try you, he tries you in the real things of life. Because that point is who you are that manifests. When you are under pressure, a man is putting pressure on you for fornication. That's where the devil shows up. Because that's where your reality is. Not what you are talking, not the impression you are creating before men. Witnessing begins in the spirit, not in the natural. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you begin witnessing the spirit. You can deceive men, you have wasted your life. What is coming next year is heavy. I want to give you some background this afternoon. Obviously, we can't share. Because I have burdens in my spirit. I have burdens. I'm still processing them. I have burdens in my spirit. I will just give you things that you go and practice. I'll give you things that you go and practice. If you are consistent with these things, by June, you will gain strength. That is if you want to be relevant with God. If you want to be relevant, by June, you'll be strong. We are playing. You have 168 hours in a week. How much of it do you invest in your spirit? In a whole week, you spend only the 1 hour 30 minutes that is spent in church. Meanwhile, in that 1 hour 30 minutes, 40 minutes is for praise and worship. People are dancing. And the dance is not because we are not even paying attention to the lyrics. It's the harmony, the rhythm that we are dancing to. So you are praising God. They sang one song you knew, you jump. They sang the other one that you don't like, you calm down. They sang the next one you like, you jump. And you say you are praising God. No, you are not praising God. You are praising yourself. You are appealing to your appetites. A spiritual song that gives glory to God doesn't move you. Is the one that taught your emotion that you jump. Hey, hey, hey. You know, we need teaching priests, man of God. We need teaching priests. That's what we need now. We need teaching priests. Because what's happening is heavy. People don't know. People don't know. We heard of kidnapping this year. Next year it will be a normal thing. We enter into churches and carry the whole church. What is coming is heavy. The devil will be audacious. We have not seen anything. If you must escape, you must have an ear in the spirit. Because the times that are coming are times when, before you travel, you need the Holy Ghost to tell you when to move and the route to follow. You need to become like the wind that bloweth, and no man listeth from whence it cometh or when it goeth. That means you need to be genuinely born of the Spirit. If not, you will see unpleasant surprises. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm telling you the things I saw in the Spirit.
God is raising a movement. How many of us did any form of retreat in this December? That was like 20%. Where were the rest? We swallowed up in rice and chicken. The anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. He gives us the two major expressions of the anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the Bible said, that looks like the first one, but it's not the same. It said, "But the anointing which ye have received in him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth." And what? Is truth. So he's talking about a person. The first one is talking about the overflow of his life. This one is talking about the person. That's what you hear, the anointing within and the anointing upon. The anointing within is a person. And it took so much of God for that personality to be able to dwell on your inside. That is what God had always designed and desired to have. Because the only way the earth realm can become a mirror image of the heavens is for God himself to be tabernacled in heaven. So when he began the project of creation, it was truncated before he got to that point where man could eat of it, the fruit of eternal life. For God to be fully indwelling on his inside. That means God will become his operating system. That's why I said you don't need anybody to teach you anything. That anointing that is on your inside will teach you all things. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 31, it said, "When you go in the wrong way," he said, "you will hear a voice behind you. This is not, there is a personality with you." He said, "The Holy Spirit that you have received, he lives in you and with you forever." So first of all, when we talk about the anointing, we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the believer. So if a man is stranded in any aspect of his life, what it means is that he has not mastered the act of engaging the one that is indwelling. Because that man came to achieve a purpose. He said in John chapter 16 verse 13, "I have many things to tell you." He said, "but you cannot receive it." The reason is because what he wants to tell you are spiritual realities. And at this point, you are a carnal man. The people he was talking to, they are people that operate by their reasons. They operate by logic and human rationales. So they cannot understand heavenly things. If you tell them about the future, they are looking at their certificates, they are looking at their relatives, the people they know. But he wants to them about an economy in God that is beyond every advantage that is within the boundary of mortal kind. So he said they cannot comprehend what he wants to tell them. If he tells them these things, they will reason it with their brain. If we begin to talk about healing now, you can receive 5 scriptures and you assume you know it until you are sick. You see, in the equation of spiritual realities, you don't know something until you can manifest it. Because when you know, it creates a consciousness and then it produces transformation. That is knowledge in the spirit. The word is ginosko. You don't know until you can demonstrate. If you are not able to demonstrate, you are aware. But demonstration is a function of apprehension. So Jesus said, "the heavenly things I want to bring to you, you can apprehend it." You may be aware of it. Once in a while, you can tap it to certain frequencies and say certain things. But I want you to walk in this thing perpetually. And the only way that can happen is for the one that is my own operating system to dwell on your inside. Because Jesus said, "the words that I speak, it is the Father that is in me that doeth the works." You see the equation. I am talking, but you are seeing manifestation. I am talking, but somebody in me is walking. The only way you can become an invincible personality on earth
is for that personality to dwell in you. So he said that personality is truth. That's the anointing within. That one may not work miracles. It may not work power. But that one is what makes you become like God. Because his primary assignment is to teach you the ways of the Spirit. So when we talk about engaging the anointing, I'm giving this background so that you understand me, because as I begin to flow, I may not be able to distinguish the two because of the time that we have. If you engage the anointing within, you become like God. If you engage the anointing upon, you can demonstrate the things of God, the abilities of the Spirit. The overflow of the life of the one within is what makes the things happen. So you hear of things like power. You hear of things like wisdom. You hear of things like graces. They are overflow of his life. For example, as you are now, there are things that proceed from you, like your breath. Your breath is not you, but your breath came from within you. You see that? So you can give off oxygen. That oxygen you give off is what sustains the plants around you. If humankind stop breathing, most of the plants will die, because they live off the oxygen that we breathe. We are not oxygen, but the oxygen comes from us. So what you call power is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit within. So when we talk about engaging the anointing, first of all, we are talking about engaging the person. Not just the things that flow from his life. So that's what 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 and 27 is trying to enumerate. One is the ability that comes with that personality. So he gives you the ability to know all things, to do all things, to manifest all things. The second is the one that dwells on your inside. The personality himself. If these two operations of God do not become your reality, if you like, go for 50 services, breakthrough services, or next level services, you will waste your life. Because the Bible said, it is not given to man that walketh to order his steps. So how can man walk in this realm? That means a spirit must continually whisper to him. A prophet can confuse your life. Your pastor can confuse your life. Everything you hear from any spiritual man should be a confirmation of what the one within is telling you. If you walk based on all you hear, you are not alive. You are not a spiritual man. Your life is an experiment. You will waste. And you may not understand the significance of life. The reason is because maybe you not really know what God wants you to be. So at the point when you are starting out in life, life is all about bread and wine. So if you can get by, you get, you know, your education, you have a little job that pays you. That's a mundane kind of life. That's how the goats live. They try to survive every day. We live beyond daily bread. We live for purpose. And what we call purpose is the will of the Father that was written concerning us before we were born. Everything you are supposed to be is part of an eternal equation. The same way this building is standing. When these blocks were built, all of them were individual blocks. You don't even know what they stood for. But for this building to take shape, some blocks were chiseled so that you can have this corner shape. Now you see a building, you appreciate a building. These are blocks that were put in place. The same way your life is supposed to fulfill an equation that God saw in the Spirit. If you don't follow that whisper from your within, you cannot fit into what God is building. And what it means is that when you return to eternity, you have no place. So, when we talk about the anointing, it's beyond having an ability to do something. It is first of all coming to a point where you have eternal relevance. All God may put in you is a voice. But that voice will fill in a gap, a vacuum in time. It is through that voice that many millions will find their bearing in God. But the only way that voice can echo what is in the heart of the Father by time is if you can hear the whisper of that one that dwells on your inside. Therefore, engaging that personality becomes your greatest assignment on earth. If you have not come to a point, Apostle Armour will tell us, if you are 20 years old and you have not known the voice of God, you are just a mistake going somewhere to happen. So today you apply for 3 universities and then University of Kogi gives you admission. So your bearing is Kogi State. And as you finish from Kogi State, you litter your certificates everywhere. And then they give you a job in Lagos. Your bearing is in Lagos. And then the time you are returning to your village, you are 70 years old. You say, I've lived my life by joker. What you may not realize is that the heart of the father concerning your destiny is to fulfill an equation in Abuja, in Gok or in Meduguri. But your sojourning was based on luck and chance. So you live your life based on luck and chance until you are 70 years old. You never scratch the reason why you were born. And then you will think that you have lived a life. Maybe because you are coming home with a Lexus Jeep. Or you built a 3-bedroom flat in your village. You are coming, you think you have lived. By the time this window called time is removed, and you see the veil of eternity, you will realize that you were not alive. You had oxygen on your nostrils for 70 years, but were not alive. I told them in Kappa, Moses was a people. His pride that came from heaven had nothing to write on his slate. His slate was still empty. The angels that were writing the account of Moses' life on earth, when he was 40 years old, they had not written anything. So if you read Exodus from chapter 1 from verse 1 to 11, nothing was written about Moses. It's the story that the people around were telling that they used to write two lines. That they named him Moses because they drew him out of water. Meanwhile, according to the writings of ordination in eternity, Moses was the deliverer of Israel. 400 years before he was, more than 800 years before he was born. In Genesis chapter 15, God was bargaining with Abraham. He said, your children will be in a foreign land. After 400 years, the cup of the enemy will be full and I will send the deliverer. That was when the destiny of Moses was written on it. So according to heaven, Moses was supposed to come into this world and begin to live as a deliverer. But according to luck and chance, he was in the palace, living the way of the Egyptian for 40 years. Nothing was written. Until after 40 years, the Bible now says, when Moses was come of age. It means that 40 years that somebody come of age? No, that's when he began to perceive heaven. So some of us will not come of age at 70. Because we have not heard the voice within. So as far as heaven is concerned, we will be what? We will be children at 70. Some people are children at the age of 80 because they not perceive. And some will die as children. The Bible said in Galatians 4:1, it said the heir. So long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, even though he what? He be Lord of all. The reason is because the heir doesn't know why he's an heir. He's walking around saying, I'm the prince. But he's a child. This thing have nothing to do with whether you are born again or not. You can be born again for 50 years and you don't know the equation that you are fulfilling in God because you've not heard that voice. You can't stumble upon this thing. These things are locked in heaven. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4 verse 11, he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He said, but to them that are without is locked away. There is no way you can stumble upon this thing unless the one within tells you that you are a prophet. If he doesn't utter it, you may end up working in NNPC and you say you are a big man, you are a child. You will never come of age. This is why it becomes too imperative for us to learn the ways of engaging the anointing. You may be walking around people and then you are a slave queen on campus. All of a sudden they now encourage you, say go and do beauty pageantry. And then you come. You become Miss Nigeria. Meanwhile, Miss Nigeria seems to be the Deborah of this generation. When she is 70 years old and God discovers she can't fulfill that destiny, then the spirit will leap from her and rest on another person. And then she goes to heaven, then she discovers there is no slot for beauty pageant in her destiny. She has wasted. And the reason is because she didn't take the responsibility of engaging that personality within. She was looking for money, looking for fame. And the funny part is that most of the things we look for in the flesh, they are byproducts of our self-discovery of who we are in God. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. Engaging the anointing. If you don't, you have no value. If you don't, you will not be relevant. This is not emotion. This is not psychology. This is sitting down with God until the Holy Ghost utters his voice. And then you find your place in God. Many never get there because we are not taught responsibility for the kingdom. We come to church or we receive our prophecies. And you may receive prophecy and prosper in the wrong thing.
Your business will explode.
The prophet can even come to your shop with a big bottle of oil and anoint the shop for you to make more money. Meanwhile, according to the destiny that God has for you, you are supposed to be in political corridors so that you correct policies at kingdom. But you will never see it because there was no whisper on your inside. We must engage this personality on our inside with all our lives. That is where spirituality begins from. The day you begin to hear the whispers of the Holy Ghost, that's the day you became a spiritual man. The day you got born again, you were saved, you became a citizen of heaven. But the day you began to hear the voice of the Spirit within and obey, that's the day you became a spiritual man. And only spiritual men can rule this moment. I will surprise you that many pastors don't even know why they are born. They landed on the altar by coincidence. Or they landed on the altar because people saw their potential that they could talk. So they co-opted them into church ministry. And then they are preaching. They don't know why they are born. The disadvantage is that it's when you start growing old that the vacuum will become large. And when the vacuum becomes very large, one of the indicators in time that you didn't live on earth is that you will not be fulfilled. Have you seen people that are millionaires? But as they grew old, they didn't find fulfillment. The only thing that can fill that vacuum is the voice of the Spirit dwelling on your inside. That's an indicator that you didn't live. You walked in time, only production. Engaging the anointing. I saw something that scared me. We run with gifts. Make a show of it. If you are not careful, your gift will be the reason why your judgment will be strong.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne.
All of us here are above 17 years. We've been in church for more than 5 years. But if we do a census now and say, what has God told you? Do we do in this life? You'll be shocked that 90% are not aware. And that's not such a big surprise. It's when you come for pastor's meeting and then you now say, Pastor, sir, what did God say you should do? Then you hear the pastor saying he's trusting God. Meanwhile, he has pastored 500 people for 10 years. That's a blind man carrying another company of blind men. If men tell you the truth, you will run away from most of the places where you are. The first truth that most pastors will tell you is that they will say, I am confused. That's the first time they will say the truth from their mouth. If they come and say, I am confused, then you will know why your life for 10 years you have not moved. But your life is too precious to allow it at the mercy of another man's understanding. This is why you will engage the anointing for yourself. Everything, no matter who you are, I don't care your title. Anything you tell me that the Holy Ghost have not told me or bore witness, I'm not doing it. My life has been most impactful from March till now. In the more than 3 decades of my existence. You know what? The Spirit came to me and said, this year I will begin to announce you. In this year alone, I have reached more than 1 million people. Because the Spirit came and said, what? This year. That means what that Spirit told me is superior to all the counsel I've received since I was born. And how did I get there? We started a chain prayer around the clock. Every 24 hours, we began to pray for more than 12 hours. And studied the New Testament in every 14 days. And on the second week, a Spirit came and said, this year. What if I started doing that thing at the age of 15? Meanwhile, I've been in church all my life. I didn't convert from Islam. I was born a Christian. But it's after 3 decades that the Spirit came to me and said, he made one statement. That statement, I have beat more than 1 million people this year. Christianity is not an emotional game. It's not a psychological stunt.
is a relationship with a spirit called the Holy Ghost.
You have been a Christian from 2019, January to December. You've not heard one word from the Holy Spirit. Are you a Christian? I don't know, maybe it's Hindu. And we have been in church every Sunday. We dance until we sweat. They say it's when you sweat that something will happen. Meanwhile, all you are doing is correct. But you are looking at the wrong places. You are looking at things happening. You are looking at promotion. You are looking at breakthrough. Breakthrough in what direction? Imagine if your route is Abuja, but you are heading towards Otukwa. You are making us more than 9 million followers on Instagram. Is that not impact? It's a terrible impact. Because I don't know any pastor that has such followers on Instagram. Hope you know Davido is making a heavy impact. There is no female in Africa that is making as much impact as Tiwa Savage. The same way there is no female in the world making as much impact as Beyonce. Impact is not important until you are going in the direction of your calling. So before you talk impact, make sure you are on the right track. Before you come to church, people fall down. Before you come to church and you say lofty thing, make sure you are in sync with the Holy Spirit. Because if you are not, what you call impact is a waste. If it's not a hazard to the purpose of God, you are carried away by many things. After you organize your program, call your workers and those who are your sons and daughters. Ask them, what did God tell you? You'll be shocked. Don't be carried away by the fire in the hall, the people falling down, the chairs broken. When you see their lives after 1 year, what is the progress? That's when the program made meaning to them. Most of the things we are doing have no meaning and genuine impact in our lives. We are just emotional beings. We want to come and be excited. And that's why the devil uses the same excitement to carry us from the presence of God. You tell them to come. This retreat, if you came here without sound, you will not have one person after 24 hours. We want to laugh, cross our legs and hear music. We say we are worshiping God. Somebody is listening to a song for 2 hours. He didn't sing one thing to the Lord. He's just putting his head like this. Weak. That's for those of you that have fasted beyond 3 days. Some people may never do it in a lifetime. But we understand this. If you are not a preacher, it's okay. There's a level where you just service your spirit, it's okay. But if you want to break into a realm where you stay ahead of your generation, there are things you must do. Somebody saw me, he said, "Kai, this thing no they help you. Your neck don't they long?" I say, "I am not a fashion star. And a post is not a title. It's a responsibility." And one of the responsibilities of the apostolic office is to carry the body of Christ from one dispensation to another. That means you will be ahead of your generation. Don't give the spirit, you can't do that, because these things are breaking news in the spirit realm. Hunger. Most people have aborted hunger many times. You don't know why you never enter your season. You don't enter your season because you are active in the church. God sees your work and he will reward you. But your spiritual progress is predicated upon your service of hunger. That's the alarm of God in your spirit. The third thing is what we call ministering to the Lord. Psalm 92 verse 1, 2 and 10. See what the Bible says. Ministering to the Lord is not prayer. It's extolling the name of the Lord for what he has done. Those days in movies, there are special people that stay around the king. All they do is to hail the king. Odogu, Ikenga, Omekandaya, Agujiebe. That's their work. They make the king excited. That's what ministering to the Lord is. You extol his name by acknowledging the things he has done. In Psalm 92, from verse 1, 2, and then verse 10, see what the Bible says. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord
and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And in verse 10 he said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So if you see a man who is always fresh in the spirit, he understands the intelligence of ministering to the Lord. See, these things are not emotional. That's why when I began, I told you, emotional Christianity and psychological Christianity have robbed us of power. All the things I'm showing you, there's none of them that is emotional. They are deliberate commitments of a believer. You will consciously wake up and you will extol the name of the Lord. Bishop Oedipo told the story how he was walking with a father from their old church location to the new one. And in their journey of 15 minutes, the man has said, thank you, Father, 72 times. You don't know why these men are powerful. You, all you do is to enter prayer room. He has his place and is very beautiful, but there are skills in this matter. When you minister to the Lord continually, what you are doing is that you are raising incense to heaven. In Acts 13, verse 1 to 2, the Bible said, he called the names of five people, Paul, Barnabas, Lucius of Cyrene, and the rest. And he said, as they prayed and fasted and ministered unto the Lord, he said, the Holy Ghost spake. That's one of the times you will see in the Bible where the Holy Ghost spoke with an audible voice. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have for them. It causes God to step out of his boundaries. Men who know the act of ministering to the Lord, they are strange. Things happen around them. God is so excited to show forth himself through their lives. It is God's way of anointing you with fresh oil. And it is God's strategy of exalting your horn like the unicorn. That's why two people can be preachers. One of them is known globally. The other one is still preaching for 5 years in his village. The reason is not because the one who is known is more anointed or more gifted. One of them, the horn is exalted. You can see people come to preach. You see the man that the whole world is celebrating. When he preaches, you now say, what? Is it what this person is doing? Yes, his horn is exalted. He knows secrets that you don't know. So you are more gifted, but there is one that the horn is exalted. Every morning, God puts a fresh oil on himself. The reason is because he knows how to minister to the Lord. You never praise God for what he has done. Every time you come to God, it's God, see my circumstance. God, see my situation. God, won't you have mercy? Okay. When you are there for 5 years, wisdom will speak to you. Acknowledge God for what he has done. God may not have done what you are trusting him for, but there are many other things he has done that is stronger at their point. Why not begin from there? You read the prayer of Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings chapter 20. You will not need to fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. What do you do? Gather priests and minstrel and just keep singing. The Lord is good and his mercy is endured forever. And then three nations fought against themselves. The last two killed themselves. The last one killed himself. Because they know how to minister to the Lord. If you want to be relevant to change your world, these are strategies of the Spirit. The Bible says, bring with you war. Bring with you. Carry them with you. I've seen Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. He is one of the experts in this thing. Go and listen to Christ Embassy songs. 90% of their song is what? Ministering to the Lord. And that's why Pastor Chris is like one of the most anointed Nigerians. He knows the secret early in life. He said, bring, carry with you wars. Pastor Chris is the only Nigerian that does forensic healing ministration. You know, the prophetic has general purpose, prophetic, and forensic. In general purpose, there's somebody here, this is happening and all of that. In forensic, he'll come and say, your name is Peter. It takes higher faith to operate in the forensic. But you must be skillful to operate in the forensic. The same thing happens in the healing. It's easy to come and say, you rebuke spirit, people will be healed. But forensic healing is to go to the man on the wheelchair and put your hand on his knee like this.
or holding to say, get up. If you don't minister to the Lord, you will not have enough anointing to do that. It's only Pastor Chris that does that in Nigeria. Go and listen to Christ Embassy songs. You understand what I'm telling you. They are ministers to the Lord. They know the secret. You want a shift in your life by surprise, all of a sudden. Begin to do this thing, you'll be shocked. The angels that will be mobilized for you, things will be around your life, it will be mysterious. People will be telling you about your exploit. You say, me, this is the thing. And if our generation must affect our world, we must know most of these spiritual things, so that as we enjoy God in the euphoria of the atmosphere of His presence, we also know the things we should do as a responsible people, so that we can have lasting effect and impact in our world. This is what generates fresh oil, ministering to the Lord. None of these things are emotional. That's why you notice most of these senior preachers, they are tired with emotion. See Kumuyi, see Adeboyi, see Chris Wakilo, see all these men. They come very quiet. They know what to do to make things happen. They are the one coming hoping that if you do certain things, no, these things are sure. It's not trial and error. And if we know this thing early, we can walk in it as teenagers. That's the beauty of it. Some of them knew it at old age. If we know it early, we can function in them as teenagers. That's the beauty of transiting knowledge. The thing you knew at old age, somebody else can know it as a teenager. So his exploit will be many times greater than yours. Emotional Christianity must die if we can change our world. The fourth one is waiting upon the Lord. I know a lot of people that know a lot of principles, and they say it with boldness, and principles are very good. They are people. All of us live by principles. But Jesus taught his disciples principles for 3.5 years. When he wanted to leave, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Power is different from principles. Luke 24:49, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. A man who does not wait will never see power. There is no bargain about it. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall walk, they shall not faint. One of the most potent spiritual strategies of empowerment and endowment is the strategy of waiting. Many don't wait. We are in a hurry. You want to go for the meeting, you spend every day preparing the suit you want to wear. You go and do the haircut. They pick the hair, do all the, and then 5 minutes to the departure time. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Show yourself strong. Show yourself strong. You are a joker. Miles Moreau said something. The Bible said in Mark 1:35, he said, every day, a great while in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. The apostles will wake up later and come and say, Master, the people are waiting for you. Jesus will say, let's go. They thought it was about out. One day, Jesus went to the mountain again, and somebody brought his child that was deaf and dumb, and they did out for 2 hours. When the spirit refused to go, Jesus came. They now asked him, why couldn't we cast out this demon? Remember, that thing happened in Matthew 17. Those guys have already been casting out demons, because in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent them with power, the 70, and they casted out demons. They are now wondering, why is the thing not working again? They didn't understand why Jesus was waiting every morning. There is an endowment that comes upon you when you wait. Jesus wanted to show Peter, James, and John the lesson. So he carried them with him to the mountain. In Matthew 17:1-3, the Bible said as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment glistened. And they appeared before him, Moses and Elias, and they talked with him concerning matters of the kingdom. When Jesus was about to die and his faith could not handle it, he went to Gethsemane. He carried these same guys to show them this secret. And he would just go and lie down flat. And he was mingling and talking to the Father from the depths of his soul. After he finished the time of waiting, there was endearment. He came, he was no longer afraid. The people came. He said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." They went backward and fell. The anointing he came with from waiting was so much that he, as he spoke, they went back and fell. Most times when you hear that Jesus came into the synagogue and demons were screaming, he came from the waiting place. So the thing was emitting from him. When Moses waited for 40 days, as he came, the Bible said his face was shining like the sun. Even Moses was not aware. He said he listened not that his face shone like the sun. Every time you wait, your spirit man glows. Because what you are doing is that you are mingling with the divine. That's what the moon does every day with the sun. Any day the moon doesn't interact with the sun, it will have no light. That's how you and I operate. Waiting is to stay in God's presence until you are saturated with him. The day you wait, come out and sing. You will be singing, demons will be crying out. Then you will know that that day you went beyond the good voice. That day you were generating spiritual energy. But our generation is a fast lane. We are on a fast lane. Everything, since it's a jet age, everything is speedy. Food is fast food. So we think spirituality too is fast. No, we wait. Joshua Selman said we run by waiting in this kingdom. We run by waiting. We don't run by sprinting. We run by waiting. You want to go far? Wait. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 45, after Elijah had tarried in God's presence, when he was done, the Bible said the hand of God came upon Elijah and he outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. You want to be impactful in your world? Forget sensationalism. It's the day calamity strikes that you will know. And mind you, everybody has a timetable on the devil's calendar. He said the devil is roaming like a roaring lion, looking for whom he will devour. He said the evil day is coming. But whether you will stand or not depends on the strength you generate in the spirit. He said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. You want to build capacity? You want to engage the anointing of God in your spirit man? Waiting must become a lifestyle. You do it periodically. Jesus told them, Luke 24:49. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Not many days from now, the Holy Ghost will come with power. So wait. And when they waited, how beautiful it was. Peter, the coward, spoke in one meeting. 3,000 people were saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 4. Is it because Peter suddenly became an orator? They had nothing to do with oratorial power. Acts chapter 6 verse 7, a multitude was added to them. Acts chapter 5 verse 14, a crowd came to them. Acts 13:44, almost the whole city. What happened? They waited. The reason most people struggle in their calling, in their giftings and in their ministries is because waiting is not part of it. This is like a retreat. That's why I'm showing you these things the way I'm doing. It's not a service of 1 hour that you come and preach fire down. If you practice these things, your life will change. When you go to wait, the first thing that will fight you is time. It will look as if they are choking pin in your body. Something will want to draw you. Stay there. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. After you do, you will break through the barrier of time. The power and the influence of this world that clings to your soul will be broken. That's one thing waiting will do for you. That's why you go to the presence of God. All your thoughts begin to run. They want to pull you away. Stay there. Tell the devil today than today. And if you stay till night, make sure that controlling influence breaks off your life. Then your spirit man can come alive in God's presence. And you are endued. That's how men receive empowerment to change their world.
It is one of the most potent medium of engaging the anointing.
The fifth one is revelation. Are you seeing things that make great in the kingdom are not emotional? These things I'm telling you, they are the things that change men. I love listening to Bishop Oyedepo a lot because he's very pragmatic. September 4th, 1984, I was in the presence of the Lord and the word of God broke forth. He knows the date. It's not coincidence. It was Bishop Oyedepo that said, thank God we are where we are. But I would have been surprised if we were not. He knows every date he has an encounter. Because these things are definite. If God appears to you, he's no longer in doubt. He said in September 10, 1984, while he was in the presence of the Lord, he saw birds flying. And he said, Lord, what is this? He said, those are aircrafts that you will fly into carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. And he came and announced it. Today, four. So it's not a miracle for them that they have aircrafts. They saw it in the spirit. Revelation is the mother of manifestations. If you lack manifestation, it's because revelation is scarce in your life. Samuel was like every other priest in the house of Eli. But the day Samuel's life changed was in 1 Samuel 3:21. The Bible said the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Every time light breaks out, your story has changed. Any area of your life, you have a revelation, you have an insurance. The place where light breaks forth is a place where darkness cannot prevail. He said the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot. He cannot understand it. He cannot comprehend it. Every area of your life you struggle, you have not had a revelation. He said, according as his divine power, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But he said, it is through the epignosis of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. You will struggle with sin until you have a revelation of God's righteousness. You will struggle with poverty until you have a revelation of God's prosperity. You will struggle with sickness until you have a revelation of healing. All these things are already in you. It's revelation that will bring it out. This is why we stay with the word of God. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says, I found thy word and I did eat them and they became the joy and rejoice in my heart. Every time you refuse to do business with God and his word, you are setting up your future. The day revelation comes, the power of God moves in the direction of it. I noticed that the God moves in the direction of his revelation. So I quit struggling. If you come for a meeting, just seek God, find out what he wants to do. If it is revealed, adopt. As you come and follow what you saw, you will see strange things. Revelation births manifestation. In Isaiah 55 verse 1 and 10, it says, come and drink wine. It says, buy it for free. Come and receive milk. Take it for free. And in verse 11, it says, so shall my word be, which is gone forth from me. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish all that it is said. Every time God speaks, the power to make it come to pass is also invested. That's why he calls it wine. You know, wine intoxicates. Have you not noticed that every time you have a revelation, sometimes you scream. You were reading the Bible, but illumination came from a verse, and then it shoots into you like power. Something has changed. But you will trade with the word of God to get there. The Bible called the word of God milk. It called the word of God water. It called the word of God strong meat. It called the word of God honey. But the highest level is what he calls wine. Wine is rema.
When it comes to you, it changes everything around. In 1 Peter 2 verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. That means milk creates growth. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. That means strong meat brings sound judgment. He said that thou mightest cleanse her by washing with water, by the word of God. Ephesians 6:25. That means the word of God as water purifies. He said, desire honey, desire milk, for it is good, and honey, and the honeycomb, for it is good unto thy belly. He says, so shall the Lord be to you, and when thou hast discovered it, then thy expectation shall not be cut forth. That means when the word of God becomes sweet to you like honey, it brings expectation to pass. But when he spoke about the wine, he spoke about power. Peter said in Acts chapter 5 verse 14, think not ye that these ones are drunk. He said, but this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that in the last day I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So the word of God as wine produces unquestionable manifestation. You want to see power, you must break into the realms of revelation. And to do that, you will sit on the word of God for a long time. There are many things you think you know until a spirit brings illumination. That same verse you quoted for 10 years, the day it opens, that verse will be the reason why you go to the nations of the world. A point will come when you discover your visa is not at the embassy. Your visa is locked in a verse of the scripture. Your millions is not in the bank. It is locked to a verse in scripture. It is your duty to find it. But many are not finding. They are not searching. They are not searching. Revelation, too important. You want to rule in this realm, you need light. Illumination is too important. Prayer and fasting. That's the last one. Can I submit to you? There are many things you cannot see. If you like, sleep on the Bible and become an old man, unless you add fasting to it. There are many things you cannot hear. I don't only study, I listen to the best. And concerning scripture, there are few people that have mastered scriptures like Bishop Oedipo. Bishop Oedipo said something. He said, if all you do is to read the Bible, you are like the guy who came, who scored first class in the university. All you are doing, you are interacting with your head. He said, if you don't add fasting to your study, you can't see it. I know a lot of people who don't fast. Their flesh is saturated with all things. So they are reading the Bible with a glass of milk. Volandia yogurt. That's the way they enjoy the scriptures. It's when they study the scripture with Volandia yogurt. Oh dear Lord Jesus. Our belly has become our God. Or they like studying the scripture with some level of distraction. So they sit outside. So as they are reading, somebody greets somebody at the other compound. They look up. And they keep. You will read like that until you have gray hair. Nothing will shift in your life. We read the scripture fasting and praying. If the fasting is too long and it's becoming a distraction, we take something light. Because this book is a spiritual book. He told Daniel, he said, but you seal the book. It takes the Holy Ghost to unveil it, else it will be a storybook. That's what a lot of people who read the Bible in the flesh think. That's why they argue with scripture. Because they are trying to balance it. This one, they don't know. Those walls you see, they are gates, gateways into different realms. There are certain things you will see in the scripture, you enter into the realm of abundance. So it is beyond the cognitive or articulate nature of the writing. That writing itself is a gate. It takes sensitivity in the spirit to break into it. And you heighten your sensitivity by fasting. Believers who don't pray, forget, you are a storyteller. At best, you are an intelligent theologian. You can't shift anything in your territory.
Go and check the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The people that changed their words were men of prayer. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 25, the Bible said the Lord remembered Adam and gave him a son, the place of Abel that came slew. And he said he knew his wife and gave birth to a son, and he called his name Seth. And he said Seth gave birth to a son called Enos. He said then the men began to call on the name of the Lord. That was when recovery came into the world. Noah found favor with God. God had sworn that he would destroy everything in this world, including man and beast. But he said Noah found favor. How? Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. Then when Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar unto the Lord, and thereon he sacrificed clean beasts. That means the reason Noah found favor was because he was a man of the altars. God stretched to Abraham and called him, said, "Step out of your kin, of your nation, step out of your kindred, and out of your father's house, and come to the land that I will show you." Genesis 12 verse 1 to 3. And he said, the moment Abraham entered the promised land, he built an altar unto the Lord that appeared to him. Men of prayer are the only people that have their words. Because prayer is beyond talking to a spirit. Prayer is actually breaking into heaven to make sure that the dimensions of heaven are planted on the earth. It's a responsibility of sons. And until we grow to the point where we understand the efficacy, the veracity and the significance of prayer, we will not engage it. So everything and every potential we have, we remain locked on our insides. And we will depart from this world, having not made any impact to the God of life. You want to change your world? You want to engage the anointing in your spirit? You will pray, and you will pray for long. Pastor Chris Akinome said, prayer is difficult, but it's the only way. If you noticed, everything I've shared with you today, they are the hardest things for you to do. You know why? The devil knows the key to greatness. Have you not read about Lucifer? The Bible called him the anointed cherub that covered it. In the business of the anointing, one of the most educated scholars is Lucifer, the son of the morning. The Bible said from the day of thy creation, in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 13, he said you were covered with the finest tools. He was covered with topaz. The Bible mentioned 10 precious stones. And he said you moved to and fro in Eden, the garden of the Lord. He said you are the anointed cherub that covered it. The guy understands the business of the anointing. So every time the devil comes, he will allow you to be excited. But he knows the things that he will shut down in your life. Never to be able to maximize the anointing. This is why our Christianity has become a Christianity of emotion and psychology. The devil will allow us to grow in our number. But he knows that in the spirit we have no stature. We don't have the power to vacate him from the political court. We don't have the power to vacate him from the media. Now our own pastors are learning how keep themselves, because nobody is strong enough to challenge darkness. The ones that are standing are careful, but in the days of Paul, they blazed with holiness, and holiness was the signature of their work with God, because they knew how to engage the spirit that was on their inside. Jesus said, "The prince of this world copied me and findeth nothing." That's the man that can change his world. And when Jesus resurrected, he said, God raised him by power through the spirit of holiness. They knew what to do to vacate demonic entities from their lands. Now we have church language. We have intelligent cliche. We have scriptures that we quote. But there's no power in the spirit. If we must journey in the... If we must engage the anointing on our inside in order to change our world and to bring to bear the government of God, then there are things we must commit our lives to doing deliberately. Waiting upon the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The life of prayer and fasting. We must spread scriptures until the scriptures come alive in our spirits. And we must always learn to minister to the Lord. Because that is where our priority lies. That is the substance of our motivation. What makes us excited? They are no longer things that can be found in the borders of human dwelling. The things that make us excited are things that have their roots in the heavens. The things that make you happy. If they are found on the media, if they are found in the plazas, then it means you are still a creature of time. You are a being of this world. And so long as you are a being of God, you have no power to change it. Before God raises a man to change the civilization, God himself will take him out of that civilization. Because a civilization that tortures you, you have no power to change it. Your joy must flow from heaven. Your priorities must come from heaven. The Bible said John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. There was something he needed to go through in order to die to flesh. There was a school he needed to attend to come to a point where he is completely circumcised from the universe where he dwelt. So when John came, as he was speaking as a creator of heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, he was walking in Galilee. The reason is because he had been separated from this realm. Holy Ghost told me, he said, the Messiah. The first quadrant that God will raise are missionaries. He said, those ones, God will send them to the mission field in order to wreak the greatest harvest of all time to the kingdom. And when I say the mission field, I'm not talking about the woods. I'm talking about the mountains of influence. There will be apostles that know what to do on the media to shut it down for Jesus. There will be men that know what to do in the educational sector to raise disciples. The second quadrant God will raise are the cavemen. There are people that have died to everything the world has to offer. Their only priority is to stay in the cave to raise incense. It is the prayer they generate that will empower the men on the mission field. And the third set of people God will raise are sons of consolation. These ones, God will give them wisdom for wealth creation. God will give them wisdom and influence in the spheres of human dwelling. But everything they earn, they will deploy for the kingdom. It is a strange kind of fraternity God will create. So much so that the man who is on the field will be rest assured because their intercessors pray. And everything that is needed on the field will meet them in the field because they will be sponsors of the gospel. Men who are given to their appetites and their flesh will be removed from the corridors of power. Strange people will rise. And most of these people will be nameless people. There will be many voices that will rise next year. And when you hear them, all you will see will be the signature of fire. And I tell you, it's no longer just men. There are many young women that God will give influence. Young ladies. And something will flow out of their spirit. It will be like the river that flows from the mountains of God. The streams which make it glad. The city of God. A new generation rises. You need to know what to do in order to be part of that honorable assembly that God is raising. It is not going to be a ground for men of euphoria. It's not going to be a ground for emotional people. It will be a ground of people that truly have a body to see the counsel of God find expression in their generation. And you don't need to be qualified. All you need to do is to be yielded. Because one of the infrastructures that God will use to bring these things to bear is the anointing of the Spirit. And that is why the anointing on our lives must be genuine. We will travel from this realm of emotion and we will come to places where we can make tangible things happen. Most of us that call ourselves apostles today, if the pulpit is removed, we have no ministry. And the reason is because we don't have power. We can't go to the market and bear witness. We can't go to the villages and bear witness. We are orators. We are intelligent talkers. We have no power. But that paradigm will shift. The men that will come on the scene will be the men that have the ability to bring God on the scene. Those are the kind of people that God wants to raise. Can you bow your heads and pray? The prayer point is simple. Make me a witness of the last day. The witness of the last day. There are people that have come, have traveled to a place in conviction where they are willing to die if death is what is required. Make me a witness of the last day. There are people that have authority to alter territorial influences and make the kingdom of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Talk to them from the depths of your heart. Talk to the Lord consciously. You can call those things that have constituted a stumbling block in your life. You can call them by name.
It's time to bring them at the feet of the cross and tell the Holy Spirit to take it. Let your life not be a joke. Tell the Lord you want to do serious business. You want a tangible impact that will transform the lives of men and to establish mandates on earth that are eternal. Talk to the Lord. From the depths of your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just focus on Jesus for a moment and talk to Him from your heart. God wants to hear your commitment. I'm not talking against these things. I use them. But I heard Benny Hinn said something. He said sometimes the music outside becomes a distraction. You must know at the point where you are supposed to transit. Many people never enter the spiritual. They stop at the realm of emotion. You will think it's not true until you are in trouble. Somebody came out of 10 hours prayer. And then he was met with a simple challenge. And he shifts into the flesh and begins to use his head. He was not in the spirit. Men who enter the spirit realm, if you come out, that realm comes with you. It swallows up things. How can you pray for 10 hours and you came down and you were bothered about house rent? You went to pray for 10 hours. You came from the presence. And then the next moment, lust is in your heart. No. The Bible says we come to the presence. It says that's where kind refreshing are. That's where we go from strength to strength. But all of this begins if our focus is first of all to engage the person within. That's the anointing you engage first. The person within. I know what to do to cause the anointing upon to flow. But how often have you engaged the anointing within? How come you are living in sin and you are not troubled? And you are able to lead the worship and people are falling down. You don't engage the anointing within. You only engage the anointing upon. So things are happening. But within, nothing is happening. You are dead on the inside. How come you can call somebody's name by word of knowledge? Yet, the reason why you are trying to impress that person is to get into a point where if you make any demand, he can't say no. So you have this intention, this motive, and you are flowing in such a spectacular dimension. You don't engage the anointing within. Because the anointing within is to teach you the ways of God so that you can become like God. If you don't master the art of engaging the anointing within, everything we do with the one upon can become the reason why we are judged. How come in our own generation, evangelists and revivalists no longer cry for souls, they only cry for manifestation? But the books we read, we saw people saying to God, give me souls or I die. But our own revivalists nowadays, all we look for is manifestation. We want to see power. We want to see all kinds of things. What has happened to our heart and our conscience? We don't engage the anointing within. We only know to engage the one upon. The one upon is the resource of the life of the one within. When was the last time, as a preacher or a believer, you were burdened when you saw somebody in sin? Meanwhile, Jesus, the Bible says, you love righteousness and hate iniquity. So the Lord has what? Anointed you with a fresh oil. When was the last time you saw evil and something moved on your inside? When was the last time you saw wickedness and something moved on your inside? It's a button. We organize meetings upon meetings. You go for 10 meetings. All the manifestation is to fall down for 10 meetings. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a move of the spirit. We can't despise it. But how come the same person that attended with meetings, nothing has happened on its inside? We don't engage the one within. And the reason is because our appetites are not tamed when we came to God. So the reason that guy is looking for power is to show his friends that he's something. petty as that is, that's why somebody went on fasting and prayer for 21 days. Somebody is going to seek a spirit, come and live in the flesh. What a contradiction. What a contradiction. You see somebody fasting and praying for 40 days. Why? If he gives you his reason, you will first sit down and for God to have mercy. For God to have mercy on you. That you were part of that conversation. The anointing within changes us. The anointing upon changes our world. When we talk about the anointing within, not talking down on the anointing upon. But the truth is that you can change your world to the degree that yourself is changed. If you are not transformed, you can use church psychology to have 3,000 followers. But a fornicator pastor will raise a fornicating church. So you may have 3,000 followers. 90% of them will be living in fornication. The reason is because it is when you are sanctified that you can sanctify others. Jesus said in John 17:22, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he said, for we are affectionately desirous of you, so we did not only preach to you the gospel, but we imparted you with the substance of our souls. So you are not making impact because you have a crowd following you. You are making impact because first of all, God has impacted you. Because it is what you are that you will ultimately make out of all the people following you. This is why the anointing upon is as important as the anointing within. Because you can make a lot of things happen in error unless God works on you. If you see what's happening in many places, you will cry. We know how to stage manage things. Church now is about altar and pulpit. Everything is stage managed here. Meanwhile, in the days of the apostles, they didn't live here. They lived in the marketplaces. That was where their Christianity was proven. But now we prove our own Christianity on the altar. And that's why we give in to all kinds of gimmicks and stage managing. I told myself I will never live to impress any mortal man. Paul said, if I be a servant of men, then I be not the servant of Christ. We are quick at running to collect the microphone to lead the worship. We are quick at collecting the microphone to lead prayers. Meanwhile, you just fornicated last night. And when you carried the mic, how were you? What was happened to your conscience? And then you are praying in tongues loud. You want to show the people that you are a man of prayer. You are so insignificant that the territorial spirit can't even hear your voice. You can't sing. You think it's about melody. You wow everybody with your voice. You don't know people standing before a spirit. If you knew, you would not notice men. Elijah came before the king, said, before God, whom I stand. How come you are in the palace? You didn't notice you were in the palace. He was carried away by where he was standing. That's why they changed their world. And if you study the Bible, you will notice the ones that bear witness are not men, they are spirits. When your work is done, it's not men. Forget all these things that people come and say, they live like Christ. He did this, he did this. It doesn't cross anywhere. Paul said we receive the witness of God. Jesus himself said he doesn't receive the witness of men. We think it's all about men. That's why we do the things we do. The anointing within must first of all conquer you before the anointing upon can conquer your world. To what extent are you conquered? We are ending not just a year but a decade.
and we are about entering the next year and we have plans. The question is, to what extent are you conquered? God told me that the devil can open doors for you if you are his agent. So the devil will make you have opportunities to talk to God's people. So innocent people who are loving God comes to church and they open their soul to you. And the day you minister to them, either by the word or by laying on of hands, they go and they fall. Innocently. So the devil opens doors for a fornicator and is traveling from east to west because he has become a battle axe in the hands of the devil. The people that were hidden in God's presence that the devil could not access, he now finds one arrowhead in the name of a preacher. And he opens doors for him, announces him, and he goes everywhere to corrupt the children of God. So much intelligence, so much manipulation in the spirit. We must shut and halt and calm down for a moment and come to the Lord genuinely with all of our garbages for God to purge us. If you are not purged, never stand before God's people. You are a curse at that time because you will make many to fall. The anointing within. Meanwhile, the anointing upon. First, it turns hopeless situations around. That's why it's beautiful. In Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 7, he said, I was carried, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and I was carried in the spirit to a valley of dry bones. And God said to me, mortal man. You need to be reminded that you are a man of infirmities. Among men, you can be prophet, but when you come to the spiritual, you will calm down. Did you read about Isaiah? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So he came into the temple as a prophet. When he showed up, the first thing he saw the seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. The business of the throne room is the business of holiness. Instantly, the prophet could not be part of it. The first thing they did was that the prophet began to prophesy to himself. You know, when he was on earth, he was prophesying to people. Hey, woe unto you, Israel, for the Assyrians. When he came to Zion, the first thing he said is that, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. The seraphims had to carry one of the stones in the coals of fire to touch his tongue. Before you come into this assembly, you need to be purged. You will fall like a dead man before him. Then he will edit you and remove. Like I said, it's not enough for you to be conquered because God brought you here to fulfill a mandate that will culminate into the achieving the corporate mandate of God. And so we need the anointing upon. And I said the first thing the anointing upon does is that what? It turns hopeless situations around. If we don't have the capacity to turn hopeless situations around, then we are not really important to our generation. Jesus came and then began to show how hopeless situations are reverted. Luke 4:18. The deaf man has no hope of hearing. He said he came to unstop the deaf ears. The blind man is lost. He doesn't know how to interact with the world. He came to open the blind eyes, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to bring out of the prison that are bound, to feed their. So, still the anointing of God is to turn hopeless situations around. That's why I say this thing is not emotion. You enter the family, people are dying every 2 years. If you are an anointed man, stop the plague. If you can't stop the plague, go back to God. And stop, put your title aside, go back to God and ask Him for empowerment. This thing is not church business. Everything we have in God must be able to impact people in our world. How many times do you see healing ministers go into the market now? It's now scarce. Because in the market square, if the guy is blind, he doesn't need you to come and do a long teaching. touch his eyes, let the eyes open. And if the eyes open, that's when the marketers will come to you. Have you seen people with megaphones? Prepare, for the kingdom of God is coming. You'll be screaming there, nobody has a stand. Because the word sees proof before they follow. So the anointing, first of all, gives you the ability to turn hopeless situations around. That's why Jesus came, and the day he spoke and gave the manifesto, his anointing, he began to enumerate how that by the anointing, it could turn hopeless situations around. So if we are honest to ourselves, every time situation defies what we carry, we should go back to the Lord. It's either there's something we don't know or there's something we are not doing. Never forgo a situation that makes a mess of your oil. If you came somewhere and things could not happen, go back and cry. Don't go and sleep as if it's normal. It is not normal. The reason God sent you there is to change the situation. You don't even have to be a preacher. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Even if they tread upon scorpions and serpents, they shall be without hurt. Why do we take for granted when situations defy the anointing upon our lives? It's because we don't know the purpose of the anointing. The anointing is not to make people fall down in church. We have reduced the power, the potency, and the relevance of the anointing to that level. So somebody comes for healing service. 30 people fall down, but only 2 people are healed. And the 2 people that are healed, glory to God, but it's only headache. The guy who came blind to the healing concert is going back blind. The deaf man is going back deaf. How did you go home and slept? Because you have removed the pressure when people fell down. We need to grow. Because where we are going to, the challenges we will meet, they are real. Some of us, our lives will be ransomed because of the gift of God at work in our lives. And most of the places we go to outside church, you will not be given the opportunity to preach. Apostle John Suleiman said he went to see an African president. And then he sat in the office waiting for the president, and the guy sat. And the guy said, hello, engage him, and they started talking. He said, what's your name? He said, he's Johnson Suleiman. He said, I'm Muslim. He said, no, I'm a Christian. The guy now says, shame on you. What? Shame on me for identifying with Christ. The man said, how can he do that? He's an infidel or what? What? Apostle John Suleiman said, Lord, give him back pain. Why you see people shaking the world, my brother? There's nothing like luck and chance in it. It's power. It is power. See, without power, you can't shake this world. You are a joker. Don't wake up and think because you are preaching and you can interpret the Bible. Nobody is interested in your message until they see the proof of the message. Giving back pain, the man began to scream instantly. That man gave his heart to Christ. He told the story how they entered the village for a crusade. And the king said, well, he has nothing against Christians. But the problem is that he is paralyzed. If his God can raise him up, then he knows his God can help his village. Apostle John said, is that all? He said, yes, that's all. He said, okay, send the prayer warriors to go around the tree praying. Because when he entered the village, he saw a big tree. People's certificates were hanging on it, writing out everything. He went to the king and said, get up. There was no prayer. When a man is truly anointed, if he sees challenges, the oil is dead. Unless you don't see problem, if he sees challenges, challenges tear the oil, because that's what it is meant for. It's only a man who is not truly anointed that sees challenges and fear. When you come to a place and you see a case, you say, thank God, this is the doorway. Because the people won't hear you. So the challenge you saw is what will open the door of the message. That's why I say these signs will follow them that believe. The signs are the things that open the door. Now we come with English to preach the gospel. The gospel is not English language, it's power. Paul said, when I came unto you, came not I with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. I choose not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. He said, when I came unto you, I came with the demonstration of spirit and power. That's how the gospel is preached. That's how the fathers of old. Many testimonies follow your message. Are you a preacher? How many testimonies follow your message? That's the truth that your message is real. The anointing turns hopeless situation around.
Secondly, the anointing.
I'm showing you these indicators so that they will inform your faith. Because now we don't even know what to believe. I'm showing you these things. So when I start telling you how to engage the anointing, know the things you are engaging. Because most of us close our eyes and we pray, Lord Jesus, mercy, Jesus. We don't even know what we are focusing on. So even when spiritual energy comes, we can't channel it. See, one of the skills of spirituality is your ability to manipulate spiritual energy. The reason why you see Benihim come for service and they are singing the hymns is not because he loves the hymn so much. That's what invokes the spirit realm for him. And the moment the thing hits the building, he knows. When in Lagos, they were worshipping. He was worshipping. And then he just said something. He said, come on, lift your hands toward heaven. The power of God has not hit the building. I said, what are you saying? And I understood that these things have dynamics. The moment that thing touched the ground, he knows what to do. Instantly you hear him begin to make declarations, commanding spirits to lead people. The anointing confers dominion. See, there are many places you can't talk unless there's something on your life. A friend of mine went to Kogi State. I've shared this story a couple of times. He stood on the altar, he thought his boat face. Oga, that meeting, the instructors came for that meeting. You can go to Lagos or go to Abuja. And if you enter a village, make sure, because that your meeting is not only Christians that will come. When you go for a meeting and you see a harpalin sitting down, you will know that it's power against power. Forget all these big men of God you have seen on screen. They began in the villages. What they carried have been proven over time. The first time he went for crusade, he left coma. As they came for the meeting, some men came with red, they only tied red aprons. Their army was outside. And they were singing around the crusade ground. He now said they should hold hands and speak in tongues. That day, speaking in tongues is not religion. Speaking in tongues must generate power. It's not capital letter tongues we are talking now. Now we are talking what? Power tongue. If there's no power, you are in trouble. Because the devil will not let you go. He will leave you with a mark. He said, hold hands and speak in tongues. And they began speaking in tongues. When the people started feeling the fire, they went back and stood on the other side. And they began to conjure rain. He said his eyes, he was amazed. They pulled a dark cloud from a distance and brought the dark cloud to where the crusade was to take place. You are the one doing Christianity and you think it's about church language. You pick two scriptures, you memorize it, you go and wow people. The people on the other side, they know that this thing is a game of spirits. So if you have not been able to engage a spirit, they will not graduate you. You will remain there first. Most witches at the age of 10, they send them out. The first IT is what they call abstract projection. They can stand on the road and look at a car and cause that car to tumble. If you have not done that for 10-year-old witches, for their IT. And meanwhile, that witch went to that road by spirit transport. He didn't go there on Okada. Hey, you come here, you come and tell us how that you were praying, you were shifted like this, and you snap it, you want us to see. That's not a news in the demonic covenant. Normally, they travel to their meeting by teleportation. So if you bilocate, it's not a story. That is, they know that spirituality is a game of power. So they go for power. They don't go for emotion. A small girl of 10 years, the one that you come to church and you say, no, she can't learn spiritual things. In the demonic coven, that lady can be a grandmaster. And she will stand on the road and look at the vehicle and the vehicle will somersault. Meanwhile, you are 30 years in the Lord. And all you have is to tell people that I gave my heart to Christ in 1982. And since then, we have been in the Lord. 10 years old, stand on the road and vehicles are somersault. That was when Pastor Chris's eyes opened. Say, what? Is this thing so much about power? And they drew the cloud to the crusade ground for rain to fall there. And he said, okay, they should speak in tongues again. They spoke in tongues and he commanded the cloud to go back. When the people saw that he too understood the language of power, they left. Because the thing with power is that there is a risk of casualties. So better know, if you are not dealing with a superior power, know when to run away. So the people have been in the game for long. When they saw that this boy is not a small boy, he appears small and like a jebota, but he knows some things in the spirit. They left quietly. When you go to pray, don't look for petty things. When Reverend Tom met Pastor Chris told him, the healing anointing is not a joke. He said the healing anointing have the ability to control and manipulate the flesh. Reverend Tom didn't understand what he was saying. He took a knife and spoke to his body that pain, that his body should go numb. This is not anesthesia. He cut his skin and removed the skin and put it back and spoke and everything vanished. When the man comes to the sick, he's not doing trial and error. He has mastered it. That's why Reverend followed him till today. And you think Reverend Tom is a foolish man. He saw something that is not common among men. So he knew that this one is not a man. There's something about him. He's a God man. Reverend Tom went home and said, God, if this thing is true, do the same. And him too cut himself, remove his skin, put it back, and put it cemented. Meanwhile, they come and tell you somebody dislocated. You say, okay, this one is not an attack. So let's go for it. I was watching Makandiwa. A fat lady came with Tommy. And he spoke to the Tommy. He said, go back. And Tommy went flat in 3 seconds. That's the anointing. Forget all this garbage that we do. Somebody comes with headache to the meeting. When you tell them to shout, they shout and the headache intensifies. They go back home and they are looking for paracetamol. Say, Tara now! Tara now! Jesus! Jesus! What kind of funny? That is not funny. I want to use that thing to challenge territorial spirits. We are not even honest to ourselves. Meanwhile, there's nothing special about this thing. Everybody that has the Holy Ghost can do it. The first thing is to become honest to yourself and say, God, if this is really give me the green tea. Benny Hinn said he went for Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. And when he saw the move of power, he came back and knelt in his room and said, God, if this thing is true, visit me with this same thing. He wanted to stand up, but he laid down for some time. And that day the Holy Ghost visited him. So he also knew the Holy Ghost experientially, the way Captain Kuhlman knew the Holy Spirit. That was how he went out. And in 3 months, church grew from 1 to 10,000. Don't deceive yourself. See, forget. Tell yourself you want something genuine. Because even if not for anything, your family will need it. Many times my father has been attacked. There's no intercession to pray for him. If I don't have anything, he will die. This thing is life and death. You will sit with your sisters, they will be 30 years old, no man coming to marry them. You are moving about deceiving yourself. Won't you sit down and ask God for power? When you pray, these are the things you focus on. Look for what is genuine. Don't look for what is sensational. It won't take you anywhere. As I came in here, if I started preaching and everywhere was on fire, people would have been excited. But you will not go home with anything. People who are anointed, these are the things they do. These are the things they do. What do you do with your own anointing? What is that tangible thing that has shifted in your life before because you are anointed of the Holy Spirit? One! You can't remember. In the last 5 minutes, I will show you how to engage your anointing. So if you go back home, do it genuinely. A point will come, you are eating now. Tomorrow you have children that demons will want to manipulate. Not to be focused in school. Some of them, their brain will be like... You will need authority to shift those influences from their lives. There are responsibilities to be met. The anointing confers dominion. In Isaiah 45 verse 1-3, the Bible spoke about Cyrus, my anointed one. See the credentials of Cyrus. See what the Bible said. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Now, this is not a believer. But God put an anointing on his life. Whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations. That's dominion. We are 2,000 anointed people praying for one family. My friend was sharing last week. A lady was in Abuja. They projected something and hit her in Abuja. She developed infections and went home because she could no longer literally live by herself. They fast moved from Abuja to the place and they've been there for 1 month. Praying every day, morning and evening, that the power must move. Meanwhile, the herbalist, the native doctor that projected the thing, didn't go to Abuja. The native doctor was in the village in Kaduna and projected something. 5 pastors migrated from Abuja. They little that this lady has for herself. For 1 month, they are praying for one situation. He said, this guy subdued nations before him. He said, I will lose the loins of kings. I will open before him the 2-leaf gates. And the gates shall not be shut. He said, he will cut, he will scatter the bars of iron. That's a man that can no longer see limitation. Have you seen Bishop David Oedeko in motion? This is the type of anointing he's talking about. They literally cannot see limitations. Because of the dominion the anointing confers. He said to the apostles, tarry Jerusalem. These are fearful people. These guys were with him for 3.5 years. They were cowards. Until the day Jesus was to be betrayed. Peter was still denying Jesus before a small game. How can you trust your investment to such a person? Imagine you are building a company. You have an apprentice for 3.5 years. The apprentice have not learned anything. What does Jesus know about the anointing? He told them to tarry. The first thing he came, the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he said, open ye their understanding that they will understand the scriptures. What he was telling them for 3.5 years, they could not know. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them and instantly they understand the open and they began to understand the scripture. That's the anointing. And he told them to wait until they are endued with power. People you are training for 3.5 years, they cannot as much as do anything. Jesus was going to raise Lazarus and he said, Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, if he's asleep, he will wake up. Jesus said, come, Lazarus is dead. That's how daft these people are. And then Thomas said, okay, if he's dead, let's go and die with him. Who talks like that? That's how backward they are. But Jesus knows something about the anointing. He breathed on them, their minds opened immediately. And daft people began to utter words. Today, their words are studied in school of theology by Jesus. And we can't even fathom the depth of the things we have said. And these same people, when the Holy Ghost came and endued them, he said, a great company of the priests follow the faith and the multitude. Acts chapter 13 verse 44. He said almost the whole city. What happened to this man? That cowards that were hidden in an upper room, suddenly an ability came upon them. In Acts 13 44, the Bible said the whole city. The anointing confers dominion. You can be battling with your family. Nobody wants to hear you. When the anointing comes, nobody will tell them. Even the spirit that tries to hold men captive, when you show up, they will run away. When we engage the anointing, these are the things going on in our head. When will you come out and the spirits will flee from you? When will you speak and your voice will echo in the nations? That's what the anointing does. To have a church and you are in one location for 13 years and all you are bragging about is that I have preached for one decade. Who cares? The anointing came upon Jesus. The Bible said in Matthew 4:14, he said he went in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. All of a sudden, everybody was talking about Jesus. How? It's an empowerment. John was anointed.
He was in the wilderness. The Bible said the whole of Judea went to him. Every time we struggle because we have not maximized the anointing on our lives. It doesn't matter. You can be a stammerer. Just be anointed. You will see people talking like you. They will want to stammer deliberately. Because there's a dominion that is upon your life. What you are calling a challenge will become a brand. You don't need to package so much, my brother. Just be anointed. That your walk, that you walk like this, that you are ashamed of yourself, it will become a guy. Everybody will now want to walk like this because of dominion. You don't know what the anointing does to a man. You become a plant to your generation. As a young preacher, I go for meeting. I'm laboring to set everyone on fire because that way it will be easy for me to minister. I now saw this man. Adebo will come and sit down. I say, God bless you. I thought power moves with fire. No. Anointing is anointing. Whether you are on fire or you are cold in your communication, anointing, the anointing is there. It's like a tornado. See, a tornado does not hit the atmosphere. Forget all this language we talk about. It's because we don't carry anything. Do you need an atmosphere in the market? You come, they sing worship. They do this one. They do this. They are play. When you go to the market, will you go with keyboard? Have you seen a tornado before? The air can be blowing like this. Then the tornado is coming in the opposite direction. And it runs through the whole city and creates havoc. That's dominion. That's what the anointing does. That the Kume will come and he will pray for the sick calmly. And when he finishes, he will clean his hands, sit down. And then he is drinking water. That's when the people start standing up from witches. It's not, stand up now, stand up now. Oh God, calm down. Go and grow in the anointing. Go and grow. The energy is first of all communicated in the spirit. I was in Daniel Kolenda's meeting in Lagos. The guy wanted to pray for the sick. When he finished preaching, he went back. And then they put camera on him. He did a telecast to his online audience and partners. And then when he came, he carried up with his hand and collected water. And he now stood up and took authority over all the spirits of infirmity and declared healing. And he went and sat down and crossed his leg, was operating his phone. He didn't even bother to see what was happening. What do you mean? And I saw people lifting wheelchairs and crutches. I now know that psychology is a curse in the move of the spirit. It will limit you forever. Never apply psychology. That's why I started shooting keyboard every time I want to do impartation. If it's not there, let me know it's not there. If you are disgraced, it will create hunger in your spirit. This cover-up strategy. We are young people. We have a war to conquer. As a traveling minister, I to different territories, strange places. Tomorrow I'm in Yola, next tomorrow I'm in Ogoni village in Port Harcourt, the other week I'm in Zamfara. How do you use psychology? You are meeting different people every day. There are places you go, the mic is not working. After they bring 7 microphones and no one walks, you now drop the mic, you clap and say, praise the Lord. And then you preach without the microphone and do impartation. Sometimes when you have energy, you can come and charge. If you preach continuously, we leave and we travel for 18 days before we return. By the time you are preaching on your 24th meeting in 10 days, that physical energy will go. Sometimes you are talking, your voice is not even clear. No, God love you, and the power of God will move now. That energy you had on day one, you are charging, is gone. Your voice too is gone. If you don't have something tangible, there will be nothing. Because even what you are saying, they are hardly hearing you. Holy Spirit, the Lord will move now. You have preached for more than 30 times in 15 days. You need to carry something. And all the meeting you are coming from, their expectation is high. They didn't care whether you were preaching for the last 10 days. As far as they are concerned, this is their own meeting. Come and manifest. Okay, psychology. Set up protocols that affect it so that you are brought to a tight corner. That thing will squeeze the anointing out of you. How much dominion do we have? That's why we struggle a lot. The anointing confers dominion.
in John chapter 2 verse 7, Jesus was at the marriage supper, feast. Mary came and said, their wine is out. This is not a service. It's a woman, what have I to do with you? My time is not yet come. And Mary went and set his son up. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Madam, I told you my time is not yet come. Why are you going to tell the people as if I speak to them? It's a setup. Have you been to that point where you came for a meeting, you were tired, and then your friend finished preaching? I say, Apostle Jerry is here, he will do the invitation. Okay, I just told you I'm tired. I thought if you are not anointed, that's the day you will see something. Because the guy have already preached. Now you come and demonstrate. That's what he has preached. After he preached for 2 hours, maybe what he was even preaching was, it was a dull message. Even you that was listening, your spirit. I went for a meeting with somebody in a village. They were using interpreter, and I can't even preach a thief language. I didn't even hear everything they were saying. And the man was preaching and was sleeping. When he finished preaching, now said the other pastor that went with him should come and preach. And the pastor his spirit didn't ascend when he was preaching. So the pastor, now being a senior pastor, now said, I should go and do impartation. Okay, I thought two people brought me here as an IT student. What is it now? I came and stood like this. I didn't even know what to say. Sometimes when you see men of God doing like this, you know, they are not in charge. They are asking for mercy. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. And now called somebody to come and interpret. I spoke. The next day I said, okay, God will touch them now. What I did was that if God doesn't respond, all of us will be disgraced here. I saw the power of God began to move. Demons screaming. I said, what? So this thing, you're actually not in control. All you do is to yield. That was the day I learned one of the biggest lessons. There was a meeting I went in the back camp 2 weeks ago. As I was reaching the meeting ground, it's a campus meeting. They were to end the meeting by 8:30. I arrived around 8:40. So the time is already over. So you have no message. Just come and greet them. Meanwhile, I have 2 sessions and it's a revival meeting. I came up and said, Lord, the fire that you have put in my spirit, I release it on them. That day, if I don't carry fire, then I don't carry fire. You need to really cultivate the anointing in your spirit to manifest. Because most times, and sometimes, the day God wants to do something in your life, that's the day all your helpers will be around, but you have nothing to show. Everybody have heard your stories. They came from far and wide, and then they sat down, and then that day you have nothing to show. The worst thing that will happen to you is to be a talker. Don't labor to explain so much what you can manifest. But it takes so much to be able to manifest what you know. But you must begin by being honest to yourselves. Be honest. Be honest. Tell yourself that this thing, I'm trying to play psychology. End it. Kill it by yourself. And learn to fraternize with the Holy Spirit. The anointing confers dominion. If you are anointed, you have dominion. The anointing announces the work of God in your life. A lot of people don't labor to grow in the things of God. Because we have cheap platforms nowadays, Facebook, Telegram. They pay money. Do all kinds of things. You can put your messages on TBN. See, if a spirit doesn't alight on it, you will put your message, they will download every message around your message and leave your home. I learned this one from Apostle Aaron. He said, the day you came on TBN and said, glory to God, nobody will tune in. The moment you are finishing your message, that's when everybody will come online. Before you press to be known, first of all, become popular in the spiritual. Because those spirits are the ones mobilized to noise your name abroad. Did you read the story about the 4 lepers? They sat down, they said, why sit we here until we die? And they decided to go to the camp of the enemy. As they were going, the enemies were hearing sounds of chariots. How can the feet of 4 men begin to sound like chariots? Something announces men. It is the anointing of God that announces.
He said Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. Fame is a spiritual thing. The people in the spirit realm, they know. Because fame and influence is a battle, is a tool of warfare. So spirits give it to men that they trust. You can be more anointed than one man. Apostle John said, "Man, say he knows his friends that are more prophetic than him. None of them is known." In the demonic kobum, people kill to be popular. They slaughter virgins for spirits to put influence on their life. It's not a cheap thing. You don't become influential because they can even carry you now and you go and preach in 5 biggest churches in this country. It will bring indignation to your name. Unless a spirit announces your name and puts influence on your life, you are wasting your time. So what you should rather do is to engage the spirits that are responsible for your destiny. And when I say spirits, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and the angels that partner with you. Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days. He was not sharing flyers around. And this is not in any way talking against flyers. Get my point well. This is talking about reliance on God so that he can noise his work abroad through you. Jesus sent his disciples out only twice. The people that spoke about Jesus and made him popular, the Bible called them they. They have no name. It is the days that noise it abroad. If a spirit puts something on your life, people who don't know you. I sent my friend Ogbet to a meeting in Abuja. What these guys do is that they buy memory card, 4 gig. They have more than 100 of it with their money. Then they now load my messages in the memory card and they send it to people they don't know. Anonymously, they send the memory card out. And as gift, they say, "Listen, you'll be blessed." Can you sponsor the work of God? Why labor so much? Engage God, he will announce. See, God is the one. The anointing at work in the life of a man announces the work of God in the hand of that man. When Reverend Chris was 29 years old to 31, he was already packing our stadium. But every time they want to talk bad on him, people now say, "Who is this Reverend Chris?" When they come, they now see the miracles. The church began to grow in geometric fashion. From 8 to 10, Rhapsody entered 100 nations of the world. The man had no money for that level of publicity. But the people that wanted to fight him, he turned out for his own good. That's how the anointing works. We sit here in Makurdi, what do you have? What do you have? All you have is God. And that's why we engage him very, very well. And you see God doing terrible things. I heard of Jerry Harper before I met him. By what means? The Spirit. The anointing announces the work of God in your life. We're having FOG. Some people came and said, because they heard that I was moderating that day, I said I should give them a chance to sing. I told the guy, "Who taught you this thing?" So you now come, you see a big program, you want to come and sing. So you are the one fighting to announce yourself. How long can you do it? I was so amazed. You see people begging for invitation. There's a program, they say they want to come and talk, even if it's for 30 minutes. There's charge, they want to give charge. Fleshly people. You are singing, you have a good voice, no doubt about it, but which spirit is sponsoring it? So instead of fighting to be known by men, labor to be known in the spirit. The day the spirit certify you, they will noise you abroad. Did you think Jesus' fame just went abroad? Jesus was led to be baptized of John. And he came publicly and knelt down before John. That creator kneeling before creation. It is a height of disgrace and humiliation. But he was compelled. When John wanted to stop him, he didn't say, "Me too, I feel like." He said, "Suffer it to be so for now. Thus, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So he was doing it in order to stay aligned with the Father. When that was over, as if it's not enough, the Bible said the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The path to announcement is the path of death. After he was tempted 40 days, he fasted and prayed 40 days rather. The Bible says he was afterward and hungered. And then the devil came, tempted him. It was after God certified him. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. If your journey and your focus is in obeying God, it is God himself that will announce his work in your hand. Every time you focus on announcement, your priorities are already wrong. You are not an agent of heaven. You are an agent of self. What you want is yourself. Self-glorification, self-exaltation, and self-preservation. That's what leads men to these things. You don't even know that influence is a body. You become influential. You have no life. Whether in the kingdom or in darkness. Go and read the story of Michael Jackson. There were times when he literally cried to live a normal life. Don't fight for things that you don't know the importance. Follow God. The anointing brings glory to the Father. When Jesus turned water to wine, in John chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said he what? Revealed his glory. Paul said, if a stranger enters your meeting and by prophecy you reveal to him the counsel of his heart, he will fall down and give glory to the Father. There are many people that will never submit to God unless they see the supernatural at work in your life. This is why Jesus says to bear fruit and let your fruit abide. And he said that way you give glory to the Father. If you study this subject, you will discover that they have eternal significance. It's because we are not carefully taught these things. That's why we all in the station. If you must be accurate, you must understand priorities. Know why God does what he does, either through you or through another. Don't just join the train or the bandwagon. First, you may function in the flesh. And even if you function in the spirit, you will not have right priorities and you will abuse it. Like Balaam. The first to be recorded to operate in forensic dimension. But he was the one that pioneered the way of perversion. Balaam perverted the prophetic ministry forever. The way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. Now you see prophets boldly living in perversion for gain and immorality, and they even teach it. Because the first man that was granted that ability in the spirit did not understand the significance. The anointing upon is one of the most significant spiritual assets you will have in your walk with God. The thing with our dispensation is that every one of us is anointed. Like my brother was saying earlier, the reason we don't see the money because we don't engage it. I have 5 more minutes. I want to show you quickly 5 ways of engaging the anointing. And then we'll begin to pray. I took time to speak on these issues the way I have done, so that we will prioritize correctly. And then as we pursue God and the things of God, we will know it's not about ourselves. The Holy Ghost was talking to me about next year. After he revealed to me some of the things that will be happening. In fact, I was ministering in Abuja last week. And I spoke to them about the discipleship class of Jesus. The kind of men Jesus raised. His discipleship class is not like the one we have now. Everybody that Jesus discipled ended up a martyr. All of them died for what they believed in. It looked as if Jesus was training men to learn how to die. But it's a statement of the quality of conviction that they had. 3 stages. The outsiders came to him. He accepted them unconditionally. Opened the kingdom to them like Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he can't perceive the kingdom. So everybody is welcome. That's where most of us stop. The ones that followed him, he brought them to another level. The level of representation. That's what you call the ecclesia. He said, according to this revelation, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he taught them how that their life was supposed to be a proof of who God is, both in the spirit and in the natural. And the statement their lives will be issuing out will validate the fact that God dwells among men as a witness in eternity. And when he was about leaving, the Bible said he told them, not many days from now you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be martyrs unto me. So he sent them out as martyrs. Have you seen that kind of discipleship now? All of us are told next week there will be breakthrough. Next week there will be this. Upper week there will be that. That was not how Jesus discipled people. And where the church is going now, if we survive, we must revert back to the kind of discipleship that Jesus had. For men to come to a point where they believe in what they believe beyond life. And their motivation is not what they can get, but what they can give. Such were the quality of men that Jesus raised. They died happily. Even the one that Jesus himself did not pick, Matthias, himself was martyred. That means all the people that followed Jesus, such was them. And Jesus himself stated it, that the only one that is not like that is the son of perdition. And it was so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. If you hear persecution in our day, the first people that will run are the pastors. And when I say pastors, I'm not talking particularly about the pastoral ministry now. I'm talking about the fivefold. The first that will run are the ministers. Escape for their lives. No wonder. And the 12, they stayed in Jerusalem. When others were running, they stayed there. Those are the people Jesus raised. Where the church is going, a generation of convicted people must be. I didn't even know. It was weeks later. Somebody was showing me a clip of Sadhu Savaraj. How that he was talking about how the first move of the global Antichrist agenda will begin in September in Netherlands. And how that for many years now, been training children to survive martyrdom, children, not men. For Susselman said, there is no child in your own syllabus. So long as you can hear and talk, you are an adult. Because when you go to the demonic covenant, they don't judge your age by how many years you are. If you can hear and talk, you are an adult. And I subscribe to the same philosophy. Five ways of engaging the anointing. I will show you things that if you do, there will be tangible proofs in your life. Tangible. Some of them, even yourself, cannot explain it. I'm being careful not to give my own examples, so it doesn't appear to you as if I'm trying to magnify myself. That's why I'm quoting people that you believe. If God raises us to a point where our lives will influence you, you will not hear it from us. But most of these things, we see them every day. I will show you things that will change your life. They may not be emotional things. They may not get you excited. But if you do them, regardless of where you come from or your present circumstance, your story will turn. And the difference will be like day and night. Because a spirit will become concerned about your matter. I've been around for a while. I've seen people destroyed in the name of pursuing after God. The problem is not because God is not faithful. They are not doing the right thing. People don't commit themselves to doing what they should do. They do what they want to do. Where the problem is. I've seen people who are in church for many years, they are destroyed. I've seen people who pursue vision with men for many years, they are destroyed. They become nothing
because they themselves don't grow. Jesus had 5 disciples. 12 were close with him. Among the 12, 3 were closer. Among the 3, 1 was the head. You don't develop yourself. Even if you came to the company of God, your value will be determined by how much you invest in yourself. David had a rank, 30 leading warriors. Among them are 3 and another 3 of all the mighty men of David. People are ranked based on the strength of their personal investment. If you have no personal investment, you will be among the crowd for a long time. Bishop Oedipo said, God told him, he said, there's space on top. Are you interested? He said, yes. He said, if you will get there, do everything to do. You don't get there because I love you. I love everybody. And God is not a respecter of persons. If you do certain things, your life will be distinguished. If you don't do them, you will be in the legion of excited people and you'll be there for a long time. Somebody said the problem of Christians is that they are too excited. They are excited beyond their reasoning. We don't sit down to troubleshoot and to question our convictions. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith, whether that Christ be formed in you, or you be reprobate. So it's possible that you are with the people of God, but Christ is not being formed. And while you are there, the more lascivious you become, and you're not even aware. And every day you come to church, so much about excitement. We run away from distraction in the world to come to the presence of God. Now there is more distraction here. Everything now is loud, 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 so that people can calm down and build in the spirit. If it's no longer loud, it's not fire. If it's not loud, it's not spiritual. That's why all our preaching now is on high volume. The Bible said the kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed. Mark chapter 4 verse 30 to 33. He said, when it be planted, though it is the smallest of all seeds, but it grows to a mighty tree. That means how much you have is not important. It's the extent to which you engage it that determines the difference that you can make in your generation. It is not about what you have. It's about how much you invest in what you have. All you may have will be a voice. That voice can change your world. Have you heard of Nathaniel Bassey? He can change your world. You can grow a voice until your voice becomes a tool of impact. Have you heard of Victoria Renzi? Have you heard of Lawrence Oyo? You don't need to have so many things. You can have one thing, allow God to exalt it like the horn of the unicorn, and you will change your world. Everything Bishop Oedipo talks about ends in faith, and that faith is enough to change this world. Everything Pastor Chris talks about ends in eternal life, it's enough to change this world. You don't need so much. All you need to do is to invest so well. How to engage the anointing. I'll show you things that are not common. But you will see how you will grow in the anointing and grow the anointing. The first is the fear of the Lord. I know you know prayer and fasting already. So I want to show you the other ones that you don't know. Or you know but you don't take serious. The fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23. He said, turn to my reproof. That's God speaking to his people. Proverbs 1:23. Turn! That's the Lord talking. To my reproofs, to my instructions, or to my commandments. Behold, I will pour my spirit upon you. You want to grow the anointing on your life? Tremble at the word of God. Tremble at the voice of God. You will be amazed what will happen to you in a short while. You can pray and fast for 10 years. You will be where you are if you don't have the fear of the Lord. This is what causes the release of the Spirit in your soul. All of us have the Holy Spirit, but the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives is different. There are things that happen to your heart, and your soul becomes a conductor of what the Holy Ghost is on your inside. It is the fear of the Lord. A man who doesn't fear God, his soul will be a blockage of the flow of God. He said, when you turn at my reproof, I will pour my Spirit upon you. Most of us, and because of the predominant emphasis in the body of Christ now, the fear of the Lord is now a thing of the past. You are engaged. A boy called me some days ago and was crying, wanted to kill himself. What is the problem? He said, I've slept with the sister again. That is the fourth time. He told his disciples for the three times. This is the fourth time that he wants to die. A lady came to your house. You discussed with her, and the discussion changed gear the last week. You were still talking. Until the last day, both of you planned. She came to your house and she slept over. And then in the morning, you are calling me to trouble my peace. If you don't fear God, is it me you fear? I will not tell you what will calm your mind down. Continue crying until the Holy Ghost help you. You want me to encourage you and say it's okay, God has forgiven you. I will not make it easy for you. I told him, if you must report to anybody, go back to your disciple. Why are you running from him? He has spoken to you three times. You are looking for a new disciple that you will still count another three times. I will not make the rope long. We are a godless generation. We don't fear the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 2 to 3, the fear of the Lord is one of the sevenfold intensification of the Spirit of God. You want to see a man of wonder? He's a man that fears the Lord. Most times when the scripture uses the word God's servant, it's referring to people that live according to the fear of the Lord. Those are the types that the Bible said he performs the words of his servant and the counsel of his messengers. They are not preachers. They are people that God has the right to command. They can be doing something else. They are deep in their own business. And God says, stop! They don't bargain with God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 4, he said, when God spoke, Noah moved with fear. And what Noah was doing for God, he did it for 100 years. Do you have an idea who Noah was in the society? The Bible didn't record it. But only God knew what Noah was doing in the society of his day. But the Bible said he moved with fear. Most times we call what we call the power of God is a display to satisfy our bogus appetites and flesh to make people feel we are something. That's why our generation is not broken. And that's why with everything we are talking, the bogus conversations in church, you hear our messages, we talk big things, but nothing is happening in the land. Because we can't conduct the essence of God. It is the fear of God that constrains a generation. You want to see a man who is truly anointed, he trembles at the voice of God. At Bishop Benson in Dahosa of blessed memory, I heard a story how he went to America and T.L. Osborne carried him to three different locations and showed him three houses in the 80s. Told him to pick anyone he wants. He can pay as long as he wants. And he found the last one, which is most comfortable. And that night, God came to him and said, live here now or you will die. And he left the US by 4 a.m. He ran to the airport. He's a man that trembles at the voice of God.
The Bible spoke about the boisterous things that the voice of God does. But before he began to enumerate them, he said, tremble ye at the voice of God. Because the voice of God thundereth. You want to see the thundering dimension of the anointing. What you first do is what? Tremble. Psalm 29 verse 1 to 4. The voice of God is upon many waters. The voice of God divided the flames of fire. It discovered the forest. You want to see the power in your life. The first thing you do is what? Is to tremble. If you need to pray for God to confer his fear upon your life, do it. Take a retreat and pray. Tell the Lord, I am arrogant. I am worldly. I don't tremble at your voice. Help me. That's a good prayer. We pray for bread and wine. We pray for manifestation. We don't know what sponsors it. God speaks 5 times. The guy has not moved. And you don't know why certain men are mighty. David said, once have the Lord spoken, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. They hear because they fear the Lord. That's one of the precursors of engaging the anointing. See, there are certain dispositions you get to your life that even while you are at peace, things are happening. He spoke of such men. He said, when they pray, I will answer. He said, while they are yet talking, I will appear. While they are yet talking. That same prayer, you have been praying for 3 hours. Somebody else will come. I heard a story about Daddy Kumuyi. They were praying for a madman. And he came, he said, no, leave him, he's free. He didn't pray. Is it because he knows something they don't know? His life is a witness. When he comes, his presence mobilizes spirits. We are full of ourselves. We come in the public, we bend down, we act as if we are humble. We say, la. Check our hearts. This is why I say, when you engage the anointing, you must first of all know the anointing within before the anointing upon. Most times, the reason you should cry is because you are praying to God to break you. A contrite heart and a broken spirit, the Lord says he cannot despise. We don't fear the Lord in our generation. Somebody comes, he wants to pray. He's praying, he's still on WhatsApp. He's trying to end that chat. Meanwhile, he started talking to the Lord. Or he's blessing food to eat in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this provision. And you think God will be strong in your life. You are a joker. All of us are anointed, but only few can manifest it. One of the keys of opening up for the flow of the anointing is the fear of the Lord. The second is hunger. Hunger is a gift, and it's a sign that you are alive in the spirit. In Psalm 63 verse 1, say, my soul thirsted for you. Even my flesh longeth after thee, as in the dry and the thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power. This is not something you do because there is a challenge. Maybe your wife is about to give birth and labor have delayed for 3 days and you want to invoke the powers of heaven overnight. No. The thing with hunger is like a burden. It is God that confers it on you. But your responsibility is to attend to it. One of the killers of spiritual hunger is distraction. So if you destroy the gift of hunger in your life by committing to distraction, God cannot be strong in your life. This is why the devil is releasing all forms of distraction to the world today. There are many anointed people that have wasted the ability of God in them because they carve their niche on Facebook. Not because they are chatting with any important person. They are just scrolling through pictures. They are just scrolling through pictures. They scroll from up to down. When they have scrolled for 10 minutes, they now refresh and they start scrolling again. And they are there for 2 hours.
is a plague. The devil knows how these things work, so he knows what to do to satisfy your appetite. If you waste spiritual hunger, you are finished. When you see an anointed man, he guards against dissipating the hunger of God in his spirit. Pastor Chris said something. He said the same hunger he had for God the day he gave his heart to Christ is there till today. He knows how to manage hunger. Only intelligent people in the spirit manage spiritual hunger. And one of the ways to fight against hunger is to reduce distraction in your life. Secondly, is to remove sin from your borders. These things are enemies of hunger. Paul said to the youth, he said, flee youthful lust that wages war against your soul. The reason most of us cannot demonstrate God is not because we are not anointed. It's because the things God put in our spirit as a precursor for releasing his dimension, we choke them. In Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest must put wood on it every morning. In order to manage hunger, you must live a routine life. That's the only way to manage hunger, is living a routine life. This thing I'm telling you, go and try for 2 weeks. Design a program, a daily program for yourself. Maybe every day you pray 6 to 7 a.m. You pray 12 to 1. And then you pray 7 to 9 the night. Run it for 2 weeks. Be shocked. You discover that there's no special encounters. Anybody that has the Holy Ghost can live in the realm of encounters. You know what it does to you? It's not even so much about the prayer. You have reprogrammed your soul to focus on heaven. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. He said, if we say we are in the spirit, let our affection be unto heaven where Christ is. There is something you do to keep us in heaven continuously. If you can achieve it, what you will do is that you will constantly quay. That's an alarm. You are already threatening the hunger that God furnished. Meanwhile, it takes us to put the spirit. It's like setting a man on fire. It doesn't happen every day. If you lose it, you have sowed a season. Because every time you kill spiritual hunger, what you have done is that you have traded your seasons. Because those hungers are actually supposed to keep you running until you enter your window. But every time you dissipate hunger, you will not have the energy to fly through your windows. So the devil will come for your hunger to choke it. You want to see the anointing growing in your life in an accelerated and increasing fashion. Make it a priority to keep your hunger. It is too important. This is not fleshly zeal. When you are praying the prayer meeting, no. This is something that keeps you conscious of God. Who force him? You are going on a bike, there's a song singing in your head. You can't take it away. This is not you trying to sing a song. You are connected with it. You allow that hunger die, you will fall from that frequency. People who understand walking in the spirit, they know these things. Many people can give up friendship to keep their hunger. People who are serious with God, they can give up a lot of things to keep their hunger because too much depends on it. When you are a babe, one of the signs is that you waste spiritual hunger. You come for a meeting. I keep using movies and Facebook, social media, because that's a predominant thing nowadays. Not necessarily sinning. Before you say, I'm not sinning. You may not be sinning, but you can't walk with God if distraction is your operating system. If your hunger is intact, spirituality will be easy. If they say, come, let's go to church, and you are struggling, your hunger is attacked. You are under an attack. When your hunger is strong, you come into the presence of God, you hear, you want to hear more. That's when you listen to messages, you'll be awake into the night. There was a period in my life, I didn't know these things. Man of God, I was so hungry that after I come back from church around 10 p.m., I will lie down, open a book of 100 pages and read all.
one city.
I've understood priorities.
Until that hunger went down. When you see a man struggling, he doesn't have hunger. That's why he's struggling. When hunger comes, you don't struggle. The word of God, the presence of God is the food of your spirit. So you will feed on it when there is hunger. Do you struggle to eat food? If you begin to struggle to eat food, you are sick. Hunger. That's one of the precursors of the anointing. If you are hungry, what you will do to your spirit man? There was a man that listened to 8 of Apostle Aaron's messages in one day. 8. I ran that schedule for 8 months. I will wake up, hear message till 11 p.m. and I will not blink once. Agile and sound. Those days were the days when I had the greatest encounter. I will sit in the room like this, a being will come into the room through the wall. I was living as if I was heaven. That was the time my life shifted. Only by the economy of hunger. I will be in the room for 3 days. I've not eaten. I didn't even remember. I'm not fasting and trying to hold be strong. I will not remember. Heaven was so close. I could feel the atmosphere of heaven. I didn't manage it. I lost it. It took like 4 years for hunger to come back. And God used somebody else to rekindle it. So I now understand that hunger is an expensive spiritual commodity. Most of us here don't have hunger for God. Everything we do is by discipline. That's the lowest level in spiritual transaction. When you have hunger, you are mad. The devil will be aware. Jesus said, the zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. The thing eats you up like fire. People can't understand you. When I say hunger, I'm not talking, they'll come to church. No, that's what I'm talking. I'm talking, you go to your house. You are in the room from morning till night. They are watching movie in the park as a distraction. It's not you want to go and see, which movie is that? You will be there till midnight. You are the first to wake up, you are the last to sleep. You are reading the Bible. Or you are listening to a message. You are writing something. The thing is eating you from the inside. If you find yourself there, cruise mode in the spirit. Don't lose it.